coming up on Thunder Pop.
It is the 92nd episode of the Thunder Pop podcast, and I'm Stephen Presley, and across the room, I'm joined by the one and only...
Johnny Lightfoot.
Yeah, back in the Thunder Pop Dome. In this 92nd episode, me and Johnny are going to tackle the question that was posed to me on social media. Is Alita a better film than Captain Marvel? That's what I'm going to, that's the question I'm going to ask Johnny Lightfoot. And then I'm going to seek out his review for Captain Marvel, because we haven't talked to him since it came out. And then I'm going to chime in on my thoughts on the film. And I think we both have some thoughts on it, don't we?
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that. That's the latest Marvel film to be released in the cinematic universe of Marvel. That is the precursor to the much-anticipated Avengers Endgame.
Oh, yeah.
Which is arguably one of two of the most anticipated films this year.
Easily.
Yeah. Now, it's debatable on which of the two is... I would still say episode 10... episode 9 is...
Oh, yeah.
Not episode 10 would be really anticipated. Yeah. No, episode 9 is probably still edging it out. Am I just being too biased, being a little bit of a Star Wars fan?
No, I can agree with that. I think Marvel's really hot right now, but I think as we get closer and we start seeing some images or footage, and I think they need to... Once we get through the summer, they'll really start amping it up for Christmas time.
Yeah.
And then also pushing the fact that this is going to be... the last saga film we see for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's where with Marvel, we're going to have other Marvel movies. I mean, they're finishing Spider-Man Far From Home, so that's going to be out. And then there's other stuff. I don't know if they officially announced...
They haven't announced a calendar, like a schedule, but we all know there's going to be like a Black Panther 2.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a bunch of other things. And there's the rumors, TV shows as well.
The TV shows, yeah, which they have. And then and some of those are ending on Netflix, of course. But there is, what I understand now, I thought once they ended on Netflix, it was in the contract that they could not do those shows anymore anywhere else unless they changed the names of the show. But now what I've heard most recently is that now there's just a window. They have to wait, I think, a two-year window before they could go and take Luke Cage or the Punisher to another place.
Yeah, I mean, right now, those are kind of up in the air. The only ones I know for sure there's three is the Loki TV show.
Yeah.
Falcon Winter Soldier show.
Yeah.
Kind of a buddy cop show. And then the Scarlet Witch Vision show. So they've got three slated for the Disney Plus streaming.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah. And then ending over at Netflix, at least for now, is going to be the, I believe, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and the Punisher are for sure done.
Yep. And Daredevil as
well. And Daredevil, which is everything.
Yeah. All of them.
So all of them are done. Do you think those are going to come back later?
I don't see how. I mean, I do see how in the fact that the way Daredevil 3 ends, they definitely set it up for more, but...
They could take Daredevil to the movie theater, though, couldn't they?
I think with the fan base it has, you could, but I think it works so well on TV.
On episodic?
Yeah. I do think they need to scale it back a little bit, kind of like Game of Thrones, because they've been doing like 13 episodes. I think they need to scale it back to like 8 or 10 and cut out the filler episodes.
Yeah,
and I think they do really well.
Some of the filler, I would agree with say the same thing on some of the Jessica Jones too. Where there, it seemed like at times there would be like six really good ones, and then a couple, two or three, they were kind of felt like filler. Stranger Things had that happen to me on second season as well, where I felt like they stretched it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's the thing there. So we're gonna ask the question though on that, and then also we got, speaking of Marvel, we've got a Marvel trailer.
Yeah, unannounced, too.
Yeah.
They just dropped it.
They dropped it on us. A surprise, another in-game trailer. So it's now number one trending on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise there. So we're going to dial that up. And they dropped that on, I think, the day after Instagram and Facebook were down. Mm-hmm. You wonder if they were planning on putting that out the day earlier.
Right.
And then when they realized all social media was down, they're like, well, we got to wait on this and put it out today. Or if it was just their luck that it happened to drop the day following that. and I'm waving my arms around everywhere. It's a Beto O'Rourke thing, is that with the arm wave. So yeah, all this on the 92nd episode. We'll also have agree or disagree, thoughts and advice, as usual.
Cool.
Right after this. Yeah, and Johnny Lightfoot, you can find him also on the Matinee Talk.
Yes, Matinee Talk. We're just two guys talking film, talking movies, new releases. We do top 10 lists.
Mm-hmm.
We're just kind of all over the place, but it's just all film all the time.
It's all film all the time. You review movies on each episode, whatever the latest releases are that you decide are the ones that are the ones to review, and then other movie talk.
Yeah. And news. We'll find, you know, whether it's talking box office, talking just current news events, whether it's a casting news announcement or a new film gets announced, just things like that.
News, buzzworthy stuff in the film industry and whatnot. And you said you're about to head out to another film festival in May.
Yes. We're going to try to do the Overlook Horror Film Festival out in New Orleans for a couple days. See what I can find there. Some gems, I hope.
Some new stuff to scoop up and talk about there in preview for everyone. And what better place to do it than in New Orleans, which is one of my favorite cities.
Oh, yeah.
I was just thinking about the other day how much I missed my trip since we've been in. It's been a few years since we've been in New Orleans, how much I enjoyed it. And a beignet.
Oh, yeah. Definitely some beignet.
The coffee drink.
Oh, yeah.
The 50-50 over there at that place. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. Good stuff. So, yeah. So, Matinee Talk on all major platforms. Just dial it up under Matinee Talk.
Yep.
Yeah. So, got to find it. Okay. So, we got a trailer. Speaking of movies. And it was like Johnny said, they just kind of surprised us with this. Dropped it on us.
Years ago, I fought my way out of that cave, became Iron Man, realized I loved you. I know I said no more surprises, but I was really hoping to pull off one last one.
The world has changed. None of us can go back. We can do is our best, and sometimes the best that we can do.
Some people were asking the question on social media, who's Hawkeye training?
I think it's his daughter.
I think it's his daughter, because it looks like the farm that they showed in previous films, and it looks like a girl. It would have been about the age you would have expected his daughter to be at this point in the timeline. So is he training his daughter to go to battle with him, with the Avengers?
I don't know if he's doing that or just teaching her for fun. I mean, there's got to not be a lot to do out there.
Yeah.
But he definitely has like his old haircut as opposed to in the trailers we see him with like the mohawk
thing. Yeah, he's got a mohawk now.
So I wonder if that's at the beginning of the film.
Kind of, or a flashback.
Or flashback, and then poof, she gets dusted. And then, so he's got a reason to go out of retirement.
Yeah. So she's going to get, does his whole family get poofed?
I think all of them do.
Yeah.
Because then he becomes the character Ronin, which is basically a samurai with no allegiance. He's just like a lone samurai. So that's the character in the comics.
And that's what he's going to transform into in Endgame, with his new costume and the mohawk and the kind of new persona.
It's to start over.
I saw all these people die. society, they should move on. Some do, but not us.
Even if there's a small chance, we owe this to everyone who's not in this room to try.
We will. Whatever it takes.
They made sure not to dissolve the Fox from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah,
so Rocket. They could keep Rocket for comedic relief. Because I get the assumption that at least for, I would say, that the first, probably more than half of this film, it's just going to be the surviving Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're gonna it's going to be probably not until the last act that we're going to see the rest of the team back. Or the ones that they're going to be able to
save
after they do their they complete their mission, or they get through their mission, mm-hmm. and get into the final act. We're going to see the other Avengers, but I think this is the ones we see in the trailer majority of the time. We don't see a lot of Captain Marvel until the very end of this trailer.
No,
I think she's in it quite a bit more though than probably what we're seeing in this trailer.
Oh yeah, and I mean, just based on what we're going to talk about later, like everybody knows she's in it based on the trailers.
Yeah, that's the end credits.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. And then they put it in the trailer literally not even a full week after the movie's been out.
Yeah.
So they dropped the trailer like 5-6 days after mm-hmm. Captain Marvel comes out. So they want everybody to know who doesn't already know. So, you know, your casual people who just go see the Marvel movies because mm-hmm. it's a big deal, mm-hmm. who maybe don't know, they want to say like, hey, just so you know, she's in it.
She's going to be a big part of it, yeah. So the Fox is there. They had to keep him in there for comedic relief. If you poof him away, you don't get any of that Guardians of the Galaxy flavor through a good portion of this film that you really want.
Well, yeah, because he's the only remaining one other than Nebula, which is kind of a member of the Guardians.
Yeah, she's coming in by way of her relationship and family that's mm-hmm. that's in the Guardians of the Galaxy, and a official unofficial member, and so having her from that part of the universe, and then Fox in there for the great comedic relief that he brings to the table.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
There's those new suits
mm-hmm.
that we've been talking about, or people have been talking about since the toys.
Yeah, they started leaked to appear. The pictures. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this one.
And that's the best part. And they saved the best for the last was that scene with Thor. He brings his hammer in, calls upon his hammer right there in front of Carol Danvers, mm-hmm. Captain Marvel. And she's there. And he's kind of trying to show off, saying, hey, look, it's pretty slick what you can do with your fist, but let me show you this. And there's a lot of that in the Avengers, kind of like, you know, Let me whip my cock out and show you who's got the biggest one. They like to show off to each other, and with Tony Stark not there at the moment, he's got to compete with somebody else.
Yeah, I have a feeling that, like, that scene based on Black Widow's hair, it's blonde, and then in the later scenes where they're in the suits, it's back to being red.
Yeah,
I have a feeling that's early on,
mm-hmm.
which ties into the scenes from the older trailers where they're in the little room, and it's just Captain America and Black Widow, and they're talking about how he killed half the people. So obviously that's the beginning, and then Ant-Man shows up on the little video monitor.
Yeah.
And then so I think that's she probably shows up, and then that's them kind of figuring stuff out, like, okay, this is who we have.
This is what we know is for sure left, without knowing anyone else. Are we going to get any other surprises as far as new characters that maybe from the comic book world that might surface in this film?
I don't think they would do that in this one, mm-hmm. Until they start the next, because this is supposed to be like the end of this big run they've
this
been
phase,
having.
This phase, yeah. That's this why, current this current cast.
Yeah, I think Captain Marvel was kind of the last addition.
Yeah. And she's kind of the handoff possibly to the next generation of Avengers that are going to kind of take it over from there, with a few of the old ones maybe still tagging along into mm-hmm. the new section of films that they'll launch at some point.
I mean, they might cameo or talk about somebody.
Sure.
But I don't think you would introduce, you know, somebody who's going to be like integral in this team.
Yeah, they might be referencing somebody that might be foreshadowing of someone that could be coming up in the future. And I mean, to me, the most obvious ones that they would be expecting to continue on past this film, mm-hmm. You know, as at least major leads, would be the ones that were more recently added in, mm-hmm. like Black Panther, Captain Marvel,
Spider-Man.
Obviously, he's just getting off the ground with his new series mm-hmm. of films. Obviously, probably, and then some of the characters that come along in that with the Black Panther and the Captain Marvel, some of the characters that they bring in from there. Ant-Man probably too.
Yeah.
Even though he's had two films already, he probably is still going to be a part of that. You know, Ant-Man and Wasp would probably
continue. And also with the ink drying on the finalization of the Fox Disney
mm-hmm.
deal,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're kind of holding off adding anybody yet
mm-hmm.
to see what they want to add from what they're about to
yeah.
integrate. So they might be saying, why would we put like a C-level character in
mm-hmm.
when maybe next year or the year after we can drop in like an A-list mutant or something like that.
Yeah, a really good one. Do you think that there's room ever in this Avengers world for a Deadpool? Would he fit? Could he fit?
Not within this world, but I think you could definitely do like they did with Deadpool and like take somebody from this world
mm-hmm.
and just have them show up in a Deadpool movie.
Deadpool movie.
And then just kind of be like, what the hell? And then just completely ignore it as just it's a Deadpool thing.
A hilarious Tony Stark cameo or Chris Evans, Steven Rogers popping up for a cameo in the very wholesome, clean-cut Steven Rogers mm-hmm. popping up in a scene in a not so wholesome Deadpool world.
Yeah.
Which could be a nice contrast. Yeah, that would be fun. That's what they would have the ability to do
mm-hmm.
under that merger that they couldn't do in the previous Deadpool
Well, because films. I believe they even said that's why they're going to keep Deadpool movies rated R, is because Deadpool doesn't belong to any one universe. He's his own, like, Deadpool universe.
Yeah. Yeah, which allows them then to be able to go as crazy as they want to go mm-hmm. and as outrageous as they want to go and as psychotic as
he wants to. It doesn't affect anything else.
Yeah, as psychotic as he wants to be and all the things that people have come to love of the cinematic version of Deadpool. Yeah, so that, anything predictions or maybe it might be a surprise for Endgame?
I don't really think it's a surprise because I believe it's been speculated since the pictures of the toys mm-hmm. that those suits have something to do with the quantum realm.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why Ant-Man's going to play a big part. I think that's why they left him out completely
yeah.
in Infinity War was...
To save him.
To save him for this. And I think the same thing with Hawkeye. They left him out completely because he's going to have something to do in this one. I don't know what it is.
It shows you how well these movies were planned out in advance because they know how to take a character and explain their absence so brilliantly in one film so they can reintroduce him later in another film. Mm-hmm. And in the case of Ant-Man, we all know that those that have been following Ant-Man know that he was put on a house arrest.
So that's why he wasn't there.
And he got in trouble already for breaking that once. So he had to mind himself from here on out. And then in the case of Hawkeye, he retired. And that was covered in previous film. And so we know that's why he was not in last film. And that explained that. There was some earlier films where Hulk went off on a sabbatical, Bruce Banner, to try to kind of...
Yeah, that. And then after Age of Ultron, he was in the jet that just went off into space.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't see him until Thor Ragnarok. And then you find out he was on that war mm-hmm. planet fighting for Jeff Goldblum.
Yes. So yeah. So
that's why he's been gone.
There's that. And then Thor, they always had the convenient fact that he was from another planet, another mm-hmm. universe, and that he could come back and forth, you know, in and out of the universe on Earth. And now the same thing with the Guardians. You'd have that same sort of advantage with the Guardians as well.
Same with Captain Marvel because mm-hmm. One of my questions would be, where's she been since 1996?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
While all this stuff has happened.
Yeah, and that's a good segue to get into Captain Marvel. So I went into this film probably, I didn't build my expectations too high up on this film to start off with for some reason. And I don't know why. I mean, I had some expectations, but I didn't have like Infinity War Endgame level expectations.
No.
Or even Black Panther level expectations.
No, I had like Doctor Strange or Ant-Man type expectations.
Yeah, exactly. Good Ant-Man's a good comparison.
Like, it's a character, I know who they are, but it's not somebody where I was like constantly like reading comics or anything like that.
Dying for their first film. Unlike Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah.
Where I'd been jonesing for years for a Wonder Woman film in a modern setting to see what they could do in today's special effects and technology in creating a Wonder Woman cinematic, you know, universe. And that, I think, was probably one of the most anticipated superhero films.
For a lot of people.
In decades.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's an exaggeration.
No, and I think the one thing with that is it proved that a female-led superhero movie, big-budget movie, can work.
Absolutely, and become a franchise, which is what it has become.
I think without that movie, movies like this maybe don't happen.
If it bombed, like if Wonder Woman flat.
If it did horrible, if women weren't showing up to like all women screenings and take, you know, generational, where you would see like a grandma with a mom with a daughter going to see Wonder Woman. I think if that hadn't happened, it wouldn't have opened the door for a film like Captain Marvel to get made. And, you know, hopefully other, you know, future standalone female superheroes, or same thing with Black Panther, opening up the door for some more people of color getting to lead their own superhero film, or just big budget film in general.
Yeah. And now there's talk about bringing Blade back and which I hope they do. I think that's still a rumor right now.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll do that?
I think so. Especially if I'm not sure what the rights are like with that, because I know back in the day it was with New Line.
Yeah.
And New Line currently does a lot of their pictures with WB, so that wouldn't really line up. But I'm not familiar with Blade's rights and how that works.
Right. Which may have been what's held it off for a little while, is maybe that's been worked out.
That or the mature nature of the character.
Yeah. Yeah, because those were always, you know,
rated R.
Yeah, handled as, which I think that goes with again with that setting and what that story is like. So yeah, there's talk of that. Even a with a Wesley Snipes,
Making a return. Yeah, I've heard that too.
A return in that film, not a complete reboot.
And they've already shown that it works on TV, both network and streaming with. CW has Black Lightning.
Yeah.
And then you have Luke Cage, and then from the female perspective, Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
So they're showing that people will watch it. It's just up to the people to go out and support it.
Yeah, Jessica Jones was very popular over on Netflix, especially after its first season, and created a lot of buzz. It's kind of the first Netflix Marvel. Well, actually, it would have been the second after Daredevil, but it was certainly the first with a female TV series. So that's the thing. This movie wasn't as highly anticipated, obviously, as Wonder Woman. But I had some expectations, but I think not high expectations. And I think you comparing it to Ant-Man and what our expectations probably were. And for me, being as big a fan as I am for Wonder Woman and Jessica Jones, I'm not one of those haters that like I'm going to hate on a film just because, oh, I don't want a female as a lead. I don't want a female as a superhero. I enjoy a female-led superhero film equally as I do a male-led superhero film, if it's good.
Yeah, if it's good.
And it's good quality.
This was one that I think going into it, I wasn't anticipating it. Mm-hmm. But the more I saw the hate and the vitriol online coming from people who were having backlash because it was a female hero, she doesn't smile, like all of those things. I was really rooting for it. Like,
yeah.
I want this to succeed just to prove those kind of people wrong.
You wanted it to be Black Panther good.
Yeah.
Like the end result was that.
So that way after it comes out, I can, you know, you can look at those people and say, you're wrong.
Right. Was it good?
I mean, I gave it a 2.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
So I gave average.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not terrible.
No, no, no. It's not a bad film at
this
all.
This is not Green Lantern.
No, no, not at all.
Green Lantern. This is not that bad. But it's also not Ant-Man.
No. And not Doctor Strange.
Or Doctor Strange. And probably Doctor Strange and Ant-Man are two of the lower ranked Marvel films up to this point, Captain Marvel previous. Those were probably on the lower end.
Yeah, definitely.
Not counting Hulk. If you want to go back even further to pre-Iron Man, you could go to the Hulk, which the Ed Norton version, which I think is supposed to connect to the
Ed Norton is connected.
Is connected. It was just recast. They recast the character. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people forget that Hulk is connected to this, mm-hmm. which would have made it the first movie of this cinematic universe. It
came out the same year as the first Iron Man.
Yeah, but it's been so long ago now, and the fact that they had to recast the character with Mark Ruffalo, a lot of people forget. But I'd put that certainly was my last on the rankings. I'd put that even below Doctor Strange and Ant-Man. But now Captain Marvel comes out, and for me, I don't think it was even as good as Ant-Man or Doctor Strange.
No.
And for me, so I had the things I was excited about with this film was that it was going to be set in the 90s. I liked the idea that they were going to be using that as their as their timeline, and what they could do with that, and things that they could poke fun of, and the nostalgia that could be built around that. And I don't even think that they there were some points that they did use that really well. I thought they could have used it even more.
I do too. Like the references to, you know, whether it be video cassettes or the lack of cell phones and the infancy of the internet, I thought, and they only, you know, picked little tidbits to throw in there where I think those could have been, and they did a lot with their marketing, having the Captain Marvel website look like an old,
I was brilliant. They had me really excited.
Website.
Yeah.
And they didn't really, you know, expand on that. Same thing with like the cell phone versus pager, like that thing. They had a little bit, but they didn't use it to the fullest, which I think, I don't know if that's because they're still gearing these towards a younger audience who didn't really grow up in that time. And it was just like, okay, we're going to throw little nuggets for like folks our age.
Yeah, a TLC song in there when they're driving down the road, and then the No Doubt being used in the fight scene. I mean, I think there could have been a couple of cameos in there of some 90s era type. There could have been a TV running in the background playing Friends, something along those lines. I think there should have been more played up on her going and picking out clothes for the era.
Oh yeah.
Getting some new wardrobe that could have been, you know, really gone for it more with the wardrobe.
Yeah. Granted, I did dig the outfit with like that. The faded jeans with the 9-inch nails t-shirt.
Yeah.
But they just didn't really have much of like a semblance of, oh, this is how it was selected or anything. It was just kind of there on a mannequin.
It was put there and it just happened and it kind of moved quick. And there was just some of the things in this film that kind of just went from one step to the next. And I'm like, oh, we're already going there. And we were just here and we're not going to have anything in the in-between here to kind of bridge those gaps a little bit more. And I know they're trying to do an origin story, and they're like, we're trying to do an origin story again, so we're going to try to do it. I think it was origin story deconstructed.
Yeah, because when you start off the movie where the character is already kind of set, like she already is who she's going to be.
Yeah.
And then you're just kicking off the film that way, and then you're deconstructing her origin of who she is based on lost memories and piecing together that. And that's how you're getting your backstory, mixing that into the through line of the movie. And I just felt like that was a little disjointed. Whereas, you know, with people like Tony Stark and even Stephen Strange, they start the film one way. We see them, their journey into becoming the hero. But it's just a different thing. And I think I definitely appreciate the where they were trying to go. I just felt like it wasn't done as well as it could have been.
Yeah. It did well in the first week. Do you think that will continue on just on the fact that this is a precursor to Endgame? A lot of people wanted to see the end credits.
I think that if people didn't go see it this last weekend, I think it's definitely going to carry over into this weekend. especially with, I think Marvel knew what they dropped that trailer, you know, and now we're going into its second weekend. And of course, the last bit of that Avengers trailer, which is, like you said, trending, and it's already got, you know, almost 40 million views in the last 24 or so hours.
Yeah.
That anybody who hasn't seen Captain Marvel is going to say, oh, she, well, I didn't know she's in it. She's in it. So I need to go see Captain Marvel so I can see who this person is. Like, they're not stupid.
One of the things this movie proved in its first week, that politics are not going to keep people away from a movie, because there was the whole controversy with the Brie Larson. And I don't know what was really said, because, you know, I wasn't there, but I know on the web and how it was, the context that it was replayed as was that she was hating on men and
white men, which was not the context. And now, she didn't phrase it well, what she said.
Yeah.
However, when it was played back, they did not do their journalistic due diligence, because it shouldn't, the questions that were directed at her should have been, you know, you said this, could you explain, like, what you said, what you meant by what you said? Because I think the whole thing was, the junket she was at, she just felt like there was not enough
diversity.
Women. Yeah, diversity there. Not necessarily, there shouldn't be any men here, which I think is what it turned into.
Yeah, and so that became a big thing, and people were really, you know, bashing on her on social media about her comments. And then from that, there was, people were calling for a boycott of Captain Marvel, you know, and there were hashtags for it. I know it still did very well in its first weekend. So what it proved is, and this is something that maybe Star Wars, going into Star Wars 9 in December, that they can feel maybe a little more comfortable that politics may not get in the way of them having a successful opening weekend. Now, Brie Larson, did you know she was in music before she did acting?
Oh, yeah.
She was a pop singer.
Yeah, the first thing I ever saw her in was, I was at a premiere of Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And she's in that as, like, the ex-girlfriend who's the lead singer in a band. And so she, like, sings as Envy Adams, but that was, like, 2009.
Yeah, so previous to that, she had a pop album. She was a pop singer, and she was trying to go more the route of, like, a Britney Spears or a Christina Aguilera in terms of her career. And then sort of from that, didn't do as well as maybe they had wanted or expected her music to do. And then she kind of went off the direction in acting. Like you said, she ends up in Scott Pilgrim.
And she got that because of her music.
Yes, so it happened. She
was playing like a pop punk, and it was just kind of that, and then it turned into just these little roles, and then she got some breaks. Yeah. She was in like 21 Jump Street.
She did the 21 Jump Street movie, which she was really funny in, and she had a kind of standout, kind of breakout role there.
And then she had Room,
which was the biggest
of that Oscar.
Biggest of big breakout roles, because you don't get Room, if you don't do Room and get all the accolades that came along with Room, you probably are not in Captain Marvel.
No, you're still doing, like, maybe tops. You're still in movies like 21 Jump Street, you know, kind of some comedy movies, probably some Judd Apatow or Seth Rogen type stuff.
Supporting role in one of those movies, yeah.
And then I think I read something where I think she said a comment like 2 years, as little as 2 years ago, she was saying something along the lines of, you know, I'm still, you know, because she was just doing like little indie movies and stuff. She was like, yeah, I'm still like working paycheck to paycheck, buying my Christmas gifts off eBay.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, because
she wasn't a 20 million of film.
No.
You know, or even a 10 million of film actor yet.
And it was like, I bet a lot of people saw her in movies like that and were like, oh, she's good and she's pretty. But she's not like a leading lady or a superstar. And then she does Room, which really showed people, oh, she is actually a really fantastic actress.
Yeah, because that was a role that really took some chops to be able to. She's not going to be just sort of some sidekick, comedic relief in a film. So the film that came out previous to this, that was out just about, what, 3 weeks before?
Yes.
In theaters. Also a female lead, and it's also a superhero. And from the graphic novel, comic books, Alita.
Yeah, so from Eastern comic books.
Yeah.
From Japan, so manga.
Is Alita, James Cameron, Robert Rodriguez, is it a better film than Captain Marvel?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
They both have good things and bad things, and both have the things that are good and good and bad on each are very different. Like, mm-hmm. neither of them does one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, neither of them do one specific thing the same good.
Right. So there's, yeah, and I know overall going into seeing Alita, and my overall experience in watching that movie from point A to point B, I felt a more whole experience in terms of
it was
my story, the storytelling.
The storytelling I enjoyed. I felt like a lot of the main acting was better. I think one of Alita's problems was some of the side characters weren't mm-hmm. great actors, i.e. the boyfriend.
Yeah, you weren't a fan of what?
No, and I didn't think the love story was great.
You didn't buy it?
No.
But, so those are some of your negatives on that.
Yeah, but I thought the action was fantastic. I thought Alita had a really strong character arc
mm-hmm.
from where she begins as this girl who's, you know, a cyborg, human, robot, you know, hybrid, not knowing who she is or where she comes from,
mm-hmm.
and then not knowing what she can do. And then she goes from that character we see who thinks, you know, eat an orange with the peel on and doesn't know anything about this world she's mm-hmm. in, to we see her become who she ends up as at the end of the film.
And some of the stronger performances, would you say Jennifer Connelly and Chris Waltz for sure?
Oh, Jennifer Connelly and Christoph Waltz were really great. I thought Rosa Salazar, mm-hmm. who is Alita, and it's all performance capture. She's the best performance capture actor I've seen outside of Andy Serkis.
I was just going to say Andy Serkis would be the person that would be in that same yeah. league.
Her performance to be able to get that sort of mm-hmm. expression just from wearing a bodysuit and a bunch of lights and dots
mm-hmm.
was really phenomenal.
Phenomenal. It was because you really felt the heart and the emotion there.
Yeah, I would say the weaker links in Alita would be the main antagonist,
mm-hmm.
Mahershala Ali, who
yeah.
is on
it. Which is really surprising.
Because he is on he's like a trailblazer right yeah. now in terms of his acting and
yeah.
the projects he's choosing. I just don't think his character was given much to do. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, the performance can only do so much when the character doesn't have much to do.
And it's funny, we're talking about Blade earlier with Wesley Snipes, and if they had decided, and I hope they go the route of a continuation mm-hmm. with Wesley Snipes, but if they decided they wanted to reboot and start from...
I could see either Mahershala Ali yeah, or an Idris Elba.
For that role. Yeah, mm-hmm. it would be one. I think one of those would be your top two right now to take on that character. But yeah, so that, and visually stunning.
Oh, you can tell James Cameron's fingers mm-hmm. are all over the visuals.
Yeah. Now you went, they have an Alita Battle Angel experience.
Yeah, they had it in LA, New York, and Austin.
We were one of the people that yeah. had the honor to yeah, be a host for it.
The movie was filmed here in mm-hmm. Austin, 100% out at the studios off of out in the Mueller area. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the experience was actually pieces of the set
mm-hmm.
and then so you go in the experience, and it's kind of an escape room type setting where you have a time limit, mm-hmm. you have a team, and you go and do things
mm-hmm.
and it's all centered around your being in the Iron City, and it's a really cool experience.
How neat is that? Yeah.
Luckily we went before the film came out,
yeah,
which was nice because the ticket prices like doubled as soon as the movie yeah. came out. But it was definitely worth, I think we paid like $25 a person, which was well worth it.
Smart to go early.
Yeah, because now it's like $50 plus the ticket fees and all of that.
That's yeah, because I was going to try to go like the same day I went and saw the film, or even like the day after. And I looked, I had been on there previous, and I got on there. I was like, wait a minute, I don't remember it being almost 50. I thought it was 20 or 25. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it spiked.
Yeah, I mean, definitely worth like the $25, because all in all, between mm-hmm. like the prep
mm-hmm.
in the Kansas bar and then the actual escape room, it's like 2 hours, which is mm-hmm. worth the $25 for the experience. But at $50, $60,
yeah, I want to at least at that point, I want to at least be able to maybe get put on the blades and
yeah, go in the roller rink and
go doing the roller rink thing and kind of. And get to go up the ramp a couple of times and get shoved down by Alita.
Yeah, something.
Something. It's kind of like virtual experience or something.
One of the little like single wheel motorcycles.
The single wheel motorcycle. Yeah, yeah. I want a little zip around on the single wheel motorcycle. You could just keep going with it, take off with it, and start racing people on their road scooters on Sixth Street.
Oh gosh, with all those birds around with South By. I've heard some horror stories with those
people on scooters
who don't know the city, just riding in bike lanes and just,
oh, it's a nightmare, isn't it?
Going across the crosswalks like against the light and just,
well, Bird Scooter downtown was already a nightmare pre-South By, so I can't even imagine the shit show it's been during South By with all the out of towners on their various different scooter bikes.
Oh yeah, my manager actually lives off of Chavez, like right down there.
Oh man,
you know, first, and he bikes down there, and he's like, yeah, I can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's you're it's like a video game. You're gonna have to swerve around all the.
Oh yeah, he was like, yeah, there are people just walking in groups of like three or four in the bike lane, and then they'll just randomly stop on their phone to like look around at where mm-hmm. they're at, and then it's no fun.
Dale. I've had an idea for a zombie short film that I would love to do. I don't know if I'll ever get to do it, but the idea has zombies on those scooters.
Oh,
an army of zombies on the scooters.
It'd be terrifying.
Yeah. Which is what I think would, that's why it would be perfect. So using that scooters as a,
gosh,
as kind of a prop or of sorts for the characters, for the zombie characters. Someone else is going to make that movie now.
Yep.
That zombie scooter movie's coming. If I don't do it, somebody else will.
Yeah. No, it's definitely coming, because what's more terrifying than a zombie on a bird?
In 2000, we came up with the idea for a script called Captain Badass, and I said, if we don't make Captain Badass, somebody else will, and then the Kick-Ass came out. So it kind of did happen. And then the zombie scooter movie is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So Lita, got 7.6 on IMDb, almost an 8. Are we going to get more of these?
I have not looked at the box office recently. Mm-hmm. I know here domestically it did okay.
Yeah.
But worldwide, it was doing really well, and mm-hmm. which was expected because it's based off of a Japanese property.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like to see more.
I would love to see a story continue.
Based on where the story ends,
yeah,
it definitely sets it up, and I want to see where it goes.
Yeah, it's set up for a sequel.
Because like I said earlier, what I loved about the, not just the performance of the character mm-hmm. Lita, but I love where they took the character from where she starts
mm-hmm.
to where she is in the middle, mm-hmm. which is, you know, you can tell she has heart. Mm-hmm. She has some abilities,
mm-hmm.
but she doesn't really go about the right way of trying to get stuff done to where in the end she's, you know, seems to be starting some sort of uprising from the lower class.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see where that would go.
Where they can take that. Yeah.
Almost like a Spartacus type thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Where, how many stars do you give this?
I gave it 3.5.
So you gave it a full star over Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like I got out of this and I was like, wow, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really drag too much. I will say there were parts where I felt it was a little rushed.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, the acting was solid, if not really good from the leads.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt like, you know, overall, like by the end of it, I cared for the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And most, if not all of them, outside of the antagonist and the boyfriend, didn't care for their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I did feel certain things about him based on her, what she does in reaction to mm-hmm. certain things to him.
Going back on Captain Marvel and talking about movies that will get sequels or won't get sequels. Do you think the movie, even though it performed well in its first week and probably will overall do okay,
mm-hmm.
Do you think that the performance in terms of the public opinion on it and maybe whether the film was kind of underperforming in terms of what people's expectations might have been for it, do you think that could get in the way of it maybe getting a series of films?
No, I think it's still going to get a series of films and, you know, if when they do a sequel, I'll probably still go see it.
Yeah.
Just because I see everything. But
do you think there'll be a change in who's running the show?
Yes. I think that was one of the biggest missteps for this film is you had two directors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they had ever worked with each other before.
That surprised me. When I saw that, I was like, oh, that could have been where some of the issues were at.
Because that's one of the things that was one of the biggest downsides for this film was the mm-hmm. direction, the overall
yeah.
direction.
Yeah.
First of all, it had no visual style.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely none. Like, the action was cool.
Yeah.
But there was nothing where I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, you see a J.J. Abrams movie, like, and you watch some action mm-hmm. scenes, you're like, okay, that's J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm J.J. Abrams, and I...
Or you watch, you know, certain shots in...
We were like, talking about James Cameron.
James Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that he spent a lot of time on set
mm-hmm.
and in, like, post-production mm-hmm. with Robert Rodriguez giving him little notes.
What he wants and yeah. what he wants to see.
Because he wrote the original script.
Yeah.
And then Robert Rodriguez had to cut like an hour out of it.
Yeah.
Because Cameron's allowed to do 3-hour movies. Robert Rodriguez yeah. is.
Not very many people are, yeah.
Cameron, Nolan, Spielberg.
Yeah.
Those maybe, might be the only
three. Maybe those three, yeah. It's a very small
Peter class. Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson, yeah. It's a very small class. It's a very elite class of people that they're going to allow to do those 3-hour films.
But Captain Marvel, you just did not have like a visual style. It was just kind of a. Female Green Lantern, and again, I'm not saying this is Green Lantern.
No.
By no means is this Green Lantern.
No.
Like, Green Lantern is unwatchable.
I have it maybe somewhere kind of in the Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, it's right in there.
Kind of in that realm, Justice League.
Yeah, like, it's watchable.
It falls in that.
It's fine.
Falls in
like,
there.
Fine, mm-hmm. or it's good enough, or like, too... words I would use to describe it. It's mm-hmm. fine. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the buddy cop thing was really mm-hmm. good. I thought Sam Jackson's de-aging looked fantastic.
It's some of the best de-aging work. They're just getting better and better on it.
Yeah.
And Marvel Studios has mastered the art of de-aging technology on characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then it makes you wonder the what if they could have gotten Harrison Ford to do the Han Solo prequel mm-hmm. With the de-aging technology.
Yeah, and it makes you think. So another Disney movie less than 10 years ago, Tron Legacy, like think it
with the glowing face.
Yeah, with the Jeff Bridges and how weird his mouth and eyes looked when he talked, and then to go from that to this is pretty amazing in less than 10 years.
Yeah, in between there you have Rogue One with
Prince Leia, Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher and Peter Cushing
mm-hmm.
in there as well. And there were, of course, the Princess Leia was only for that one scene. And then, they used the Cushing throughout the film.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. had a little one,
which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really good, kind of the starting point. And then Guardians of the Galaxy with Kurt Russell.
He looked good.
Looked good. So they're getting it down. Do you think we'll get to, we've proven we can do a whole film.
I would love to see, you know, some Mark Hamill or, you know.
Yeah, Luke Skywalker prequel, like maybe limited series.
Or show us what happened after episode 6.
Yeah.
Show us, you know, forming his academy.
They could use a combination of Mark Hamill and they could use...
Sebastian Stan.
Sebastian Stan together and have Mark Hamill definitely doing the voicing.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe some of the they could combine the two, and then obviously Sebastian.
You could even put that on the streaming.
Yeah, you could have Sebastian maybe being the body for sure, and doing all the action scenes, and then kind of combining the two together. Yeah, I think for a limited series on the Disney,
do like an 8 to 10 episode, just Jedi Academy type show.
A Jedi Academy type show, and then they're proving now that they could definitely do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which that alone. The subscriptions would go through the roof mm-hmm. on the Disney streaming for just that Luke Skywalker property. And it's already strong. They're already building a strong library.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've heard nothing but good things about the Mandalorian show that's coming out.
Well, I mean, the people that are attached to it.
For both directors and talent.
Yeah. Out of the gate, you know, you're like, okay, they've already got me on the names that they put around this project.
Because like the DC Universe, when that launched...
Mm-hmm.
And what I had seen from what they were going to go, like, they really had to hard-press me to get the $7 or whatever
right,
it was.
Right, right.
To get the $7 a month out of me.
Yeah.
The Disney one, like, I don't know what the number is to where I would say, do I need to split this with somebody?
Right.
Like, what's the number for me to where I would say I would not get the subscription, and I would right. try to do some sort of deal with somebody.
Yeah, maybe, you know, is it 15? Is it 20? You know,
because if the DC would have wanted like 10, 13, 15, I probably would have passed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a DC.
That's your thing. That's your jam, is the DC yeah. universe. Yeah. I really wanted to see DC really go swing for the fence a little more. I would have loved to have seen a Batman Beyond live action.
Yeah, and I think they're finding their footing mm-hmm. a little bit. I think they really early on were relying too much on, hey, look, we remastered the old Wonder Woman TV show.
Right.
We remastered the old Shazam TV show, mm-hmm. which nobody cared about, you know, this kid traveling in a van. Or, no. hey, here's Tim Burton's Batman and Batman Returns, Batman Begins. Like, the older stuff is cool.
Yeah.
With all the old animated series, mm-hmm. which are cool. And then you have access to all these comics as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they've been launching, like, their exclusive, like, new shows, like yeah. Titans and everything, it's not very strong. Like, you had Titans, which was, like, once a week.
Yeah.
Then Young Justice, which was great. But then they went on their little break.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been on a break from that for a couple months. And I'm like, when are they going to drop more?
They need one big, like, huge, like, big get.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Keaton in a limited series doing Batman Beyond.
Yeah.
That would be a huge get.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would get some people. They could add a few bucks onto the subscription cost, and people would start to sign up for that. Even more so, a Tim Burton executive produced with Michael Keaton starring Batman Beyond.
Yeah, definitely.
Would bring people out to watch really quickly what they're doing. All right. It is time for Agree or Disagree for Mr. Johnny Lightfoot on this 92nd episode. Right after this.
Thunder Pop was not recorded in front of a studio or audience.
Had to go high for the fast food, baby. Used to be a pilot, now I fly with my body. Using energies when I go binary. Had a life here, I think I crashed. Then woke up engineer, creep to me in vain. Maybe one of them, now I'm superhuman. I'm superhuman. Got a task, scrolls on the enemies, kicks some ass. Even if they're all ladies, there's an anomaly. I will quickly fury and figure it out. Yeah, we will figure it out. The pilot's model, we go higher further.
On the 92nd episode, is Agree or Disagree for those asses. What do we got, Johnny? Okay, so we've been talking about DC.
Mm-hmm.
This is a perfect segue into DC. Do you agree that, not talking about the DC streaming, which we mm-hmm. were just talking about, but getting into, we talked a lot about Marvel Cinematic Universe in this podcast, diving into DC Cinematic Universe
mm-hmm.
and where that's at in 2019. We were talking about how much we'd love the Wonder Woman movie and how that was one of the most anticipated superhero films probably the last 20 years. With that success, and one we haven't talked about, Aquaman, that just came out this end of last year.
Big success.
Big success again for DC. Is DC now, are you ready to agree that DC is universe, cinematic universe, is completely back on track, in the game and ready to go? Heading forward.
I don't think it's 100%. I'll say disagree.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say the recent success definitely has me feeling like we're in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say if you would have asked me that a year and a half ago or so, I probably would have been like, definitely disagree.
Yeah.
Like it is, you know, it's
on thin ice.
Like I would have said, like, there's a 30 to 50% chance of success.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm more towards like there's a 70 to 80% chance of success.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're definitely going in the right direction. I do think they're spreading out things pretty wide. Like, I think when they just announced the Aquaman sequel, they're shooting for like 2022 or something like
that.
Wow.
They're taking their time now.
Yeah. Which is a big it's big risk slash big reward.
It's also a risk because you're waiting a while, and the people's interest and excitement over the last film kind of could fade a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then same thing, like Wonder Woman was originally supposed to be this year, then they pushed it back to next year.
Yeah.
And so
what's the deal with that?
And I'm assuming they just wanted to get it right. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I do have faith in Patty Jenkins. I think she did great with the
first one.
Outside of the last act, which I felt was a little weak.
Right.
But yeah, I think they're heading in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I think they're definitely concentrating on, you know, individual stories as opposed mm-hmm. to trying to lead up to some, mm-hmm. you know, team up or big event. I think it's going to be nice to see them take their time mm-hmm. and get this stuff done right. And I've heard nothing but good things about Shazam as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if Shazam comes out and is a big success as well,
mm-hmm.
my percentage might go from 80 to closer to 100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shazam's kind of the next one, the next testing point. And what I've seen in the trailers looks really good. Everything I'm seeing on Shazam right now, I'm so far I'm sold. I like the more comedic direction. And again, here's a character that has some history on you know, we're talking about this TV, the campy TV series mm-hmm. from the 70s. It was very comedic. So they're going the direction of like, we're not going to take ourselves too serious. We are going to modernize it, but we realize that this character is a little more of a lighthearted, kind of more of mm-hmm. a, it's not the dark, brooding Batman.
Yeah, we're taking, you know, big with Tom
mm-hmm.
Hanks,
mm-hmm.
but what if it was big with a kid who became a superhero?
With a superhero. That's basically what it is. It's big, but with a superhero.
In a world where superheroes already exist.
So yeah.
You got to think, you're this kid, you live in the same world where Superman yeah. exists, and you look up to him, and then all of a sudden you become a character who has the power similar to Superman.
Superman, yeah, but with still the kid's mentality and maturity mm-hmm. level and whatnot. So that'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to talking about that one when that one drops to see how I think but like I said, that is a big testing point, the next big testing point for DC. So you kind of think that one gets the job done, you're fully back on
we have,
DC.
You know, Matt Reeves, the Batman, mm-hmm. has a date,
mm-hmm.
which is better than we've gotten in several years since that was announced.
Yeah, in ages.
Affleck was officially gone.
Yeah, so that drama, sideshow of is he or isn't he, now out of the way, which would add a lot of kind of drama.
Mm-hmm.
Outside, so, and distraction.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. a lot of distraction. And I think once they get their stuff right with Henry Cavill, which I think they will.
Yeah, I've been worried about that. It's the only thing I've been worried about lately with DC was what was going to come of that.
But I think they're going to get a deal done with him. Mm-hmm. So, and then I think we're in a good spot.
Yeah, because it would have been an awful shame to lose Superman just as they're starting to get things figured out.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of your centerpiece of your superhero world. What was the starting point of this universe? These films that they're going to be going forward with, they are still connected to that Justice League universe, correct? Mm-hmm. Just to confirm.
Yep.
Yeah. So all the Shazams, the Wonder Womans, they're not being disconnected in any way. They may not be referencing them as much because they're wanting to try to have their own.
Because even Aquaman, they had literally a one-sentence reference mm-hmm. to what happened in Justice League, and that was it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's still a portion of that, And then Aquaman, how do you, in the world of the recent DC films, kind of where does that slot for you?
Oh, wow. See, looking back, I would say Man of Steel is probably my favorite
mm-hmm.
out of the extended DC properties.
Yeah, it's still your number one.
Yeah, I would probably put Aquaman right around like third.
Mm-hmm. So you have, I'm guessing, Wonder Woman
mm-hmm.
is your second? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good. It's still pretty good to be in third place. All right, so number two on this agree or disagree, Jordan Peele.
Mm-hmm.
He debuted his new horror film, Us.
Yep.
At the, not us, but us.
Yeah, us.
At the South by Southwest Film Festival in Austin just last week.
Yep.
And to a rapturous reaction in the theater and later on social media. And now it's 100% on Rotten Tomato.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Of course, that films sometimes when they first come out,
Oh, yeah. People have the festival goggles. I talked about that on, on their Fantastic Guest talk.
Exactly. So there's the festival goggles going on there, too. But let's say this. Let's say this. Based on all the buzz that has been around Jordan Peele recently, do you agree that Jordan Peele is, in fact, the next Alfred Hitchcock?
I think that if his Twilight Zone series hits, then he's definitely on his way. I'm going to agree.
Yeah.
I think we haven't had somebody like that in at least, a long time.
That was kind of that person that is in that category of being the kind of the top dog for horror.
Mm-hmm. Or, horror suspense. You had your, Vincent Price and then your Hitchcock. Mm-hmm. And then you haven't really had much. I mean, you had other directors who did, your John Carpenter.
Suspenseful stuff like Kubrick.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the other thing, too. I can play devil's advocate, though. Spielberg, when he started off early on, he was doing films like Jaws. He very well could have stayed on that path.
Mm-hmm.
And been that guy into the 80s,
mm-hmm.
and having been that. But he decided instead to go more into moving to the middle and being more of the mainstream blockbuster film guy. And he did become that blockbuster film guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not the horror film guy, or the suspense film guy, but he became the blockbuster film guy. Then he became the historical movie guy. Oscar nominated for movies like the Abraham Lincoln film and among others, but he was kind of on that track, and then Indiana Jones, and then instead it was E.T. that he went more in that direction. Could that be more of what happens with Jordan Peele, where he says, I don't want to be pigeonholed into one thing of being, I'm going to be kind of like what happened with Will Smith. When Will Smith first started in films, he was in Men in Black, he was in Independence Day, and then he was offered another sci-fi property. I can't remember what it was, but it was something significant, and he turned it down. A lot of people were like, wow, you turned down that film? That was a huge film. And he was like, I didn't want to become the alien guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was afraid of, and that's why I turned down. And I don't remember what it was, but it was this pretty significant film that he had passed on. Matrix.
Oh, yes.
He was offered Matrix, and he turned it down. He's even made a vlog about it on YouTube, on his YouTube channel, about why he turned down Matrix. And he said, first of all, I didn't want to become the alien guy. Second of all, Lawrence Fishburne ended up taking the job, and he could not imagine anyone better in that role, mm-hmm. than Lawrence Fishburne and what he brought to that role. I wouldn't have been able to do that. So in a way, it's like, instead of mocking me, thank me for passing on it, because they ended up in a better place with Lawrence Fishburne. So he didn't want to become the alien guy. Is it possible Jordan Peele might hit the brakes on horror, though, and say, I don't want to be the horror film guy. I want to be known, because he started off in comedy. He was, mm-hmm. Mad TV. He was the Peele.
Key and Peele.
Yeah, Key and Peele on Comedy Central, which was kind of the replacement for Chappelle's show, mm-hmm. When it went off. So what do you think? I mean, I'm playing devil's advocate here. Could it also go that way?
I think he's going to stick primarily with horror thriller. He, mm-hmm. might do one-offs every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But
is that just his jam? That's his jam?
There's a recent documentary that's a Shudder exclusive that's called, Horror Noir, and it's the history of, mm-hmm. African-Americans in horror cinema. And he's very prevalent in the interviews.
Yeah.
And, that was his first love as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, that is his thing, is horror. And he's also in Eli Roth's podcast and documentary series as well, just, mm-hmm. talking about his love of horror and how he doesn't want to do one-off horror films that people, mm-hmm. are going to forget, but memorable stuff. And that's, mm-hmm. why I also have high hopes for the Twilight Zone series as well.
Yeah.
And I also think that people who master either comedy or horror,
mm-hmm.
have the best ability to jump between the two. Mm-hmm. So I could definitely see him jump over and do a comedy,
mm-hmm.
and then just come right back,
mm-hmm.
because some of the best horror people are people who know how to do comedy. Same thing with drama. If you can do basically, if you can do comedy or horror well,
yeah,
you can go into anything. Like, look at the Russo brothers. Mm-hmm. They're great at comedy.
It's a great example.
And then now they're great at action.
Yeah, it's a great example. Yeah, and that was, and that this past Oscars with Green Room. Mm-hmm. That was another example of a person that branching away from their genre, doing a one-off film, doing something away from what they're known for doing. And so that could be kind of like you were saying, like the direction Jordan Peele might go is every now and again, he may have a compelling script fall on his lap. They're like, okay, I'll do that film, that one off. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the Oscar film this year.
Yeah, I feel like he's more of a John Carpenter or a Wes Craven
mm-hmm.
or an Alfred Hitchcock
mm-hmm.
than a Spielberg.
Yeah.
Spielberg is much like, you know, the Peter Jacksons,
yeah.
the, you know, Christopher Nolans,
mm-hmm.
all of those guys.
Abrams, J.J. Abrams, to a certain extent, yeah.
To where, you know, they'll do action, but then they can, I mean, even coming off of something like Lincoln,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then a few others, Bridge of Spies, I believe it was called, with,
mm-hmm.
and then he goes and does mm-hmm. Ready Player One. That's what Spielberg does.
Mm-hmm.
He just does his fun, like, thing, and then he'll go make his mm-hmm. his Oscar movie.
Even a better example than maybe the Abrams would be Ron Howard.
Oh,
yes. In a category of that kind of that type of filmmaker
mm-hmm.
that goes that direction. And
they all like almost all come from the same kind of vein.
Yeah. From that sort of school of film and where in their way of thinking and movie making. All right. So this is perfect follow-up on that one, talking about, you know, people that work from comedy that go into horror and then mm-hmm. can kind of go back to comedy when they need to. With the success of A Quiet Place
mm-hmm.
a while back, would you agree or disagree that John Krasinski is now the hottest star in Hollywood, who has also happened to be a former The Office cast member? It's kind of a trick question there.
I'm going to agree.
Yeah.
Because as much as I love Steve Carell,
yeah.
his movies lately haven't really been hitting. Like
yeah.
he had
last couple of years.
Yeah, because he had beautiful. This last year, he had Beautiful Boy.
Yeah,
Welcome to Marwen,
which was very split on opinion.
Yeah.
on that film.
Whereas I think John Krasinski has just been with Quiet Place, and then the Jack Ryan series has done really
on
well
Amazon,
for Amazon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I know he's definitely, him and his wife are very hot tickets
yeah.
in Hollywood.
For the star power couple. Yeah. Yeah. And then now he's writing the script with his own ideas for a Quiet Place sequel. From what I understand, it's him and his wife are not going to be in it, but the kids are going to be in it.
Okay.
That's what I'm understanding. And he says he's got an angle that kind of seems to make sense to being the direction that you would go mm-hmm. if you were going to do a sequel, if a continuation of that story. And so that's all he's kind of hinted at, as far as where he's going with the writing of it. But I know he's going to write it. I don't even know if he's going to direct it this time, but okay. he is writing it. So that's the last I've heard on that. Okay. Well, thoughts and advice for those asses.
That ass doll.
And Johnny, those asses are in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Have you been following the college cheating scandal?
Yes.
And what's been going on there?
Yeah, the only thing with that, I feel like it's been going on and they just finally got caught.
Yeah, like that's probably been going on for forever, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Celebrities or rich people paying for their kids to get in where they don't have the academics to get in.
Yeah, because it seems like that's been going on for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Forever. Yeah, and that is what happened. And then some people were kind of, some unexpected names came up in the people that are named that are being indicted. And one of them was Lori Loughlin, Aunt Becky from Full House, and then Felicity Huffman, and her husband's William H. Macy.
I believe so.
Yeah. So he was not indicted. Because apparently they didn't have enough. They think he was probably involved just because he's also one of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
But they think they didn't have enough on him as far as audio and stuff that was taped and email exchanges. She was kind of the person that was working with the proctor one-on-one. So she's the one that gets indicted. I know Lori Loughlin had to pay $1 million bond make a court appearance. She turned herself in, and there's all the memes that have been popping up on social media. Yeah. Do you think they go to jail?
No.
I wasn't sure because it was such an unusual thing. We haven't had a lot of these cases publicly, so I don't know what the extreme of how much trouble they could get into would be.
Yeah, I would think you probably pay a significant fine.
Mm-hmm. They're going to have to go through court and then what they rule on what their punishment should be. The person that turned him in was an informant who was trying to get a lighter sentence, I think, to be able to... So he turned in all this information to the feds. There was a right here at home, our UT tennis coach was involved in it. He was taking up to $100,000 a year to open a spot up on the tennis team. So for a fake person just to get into school with a tennis scholarship, so their criteria to get in would be lighter or an easier so they could get in. So here's the thing, though. Just to say they do go to prison. They say they get like 6 months in prison in a resort type prison type place. You've got now Lori Loughlin, Felicity Huffman. You had at least one of the moms on one of the housewives shows.
Right.
On the reality TV Housewives from New Jersey, the Jersey Wives. Mm-hmm. You had one of the moms on there that was in prison, and she alternated between, it was her and her husband that took turns serving their terms in prison. You have Bill Cosby. You have maybe R. Kelly coming next.
Probably have the guy from Empire.
The guy from Empire. I think we got a reality show here.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's time for Big Brother in prison.
Yeah, Big Brother prison.
I think the prison edition, the celebrity prison edition of Big Brother. Or you could just call it Celebrity Prison. And I think you got enough for two seasons because you have two casts already built up for this show. And I mean, I think it could be a hit. I think it's a hit, guaranteed. It's a hit. Netflix, Amazon, if you're watching, Bill Cosby's agent or his publicist, if you're looking for a way to get old Bill back on TV, here's your chance. He can be the old kind of wise, rapist on the show.
You have to have him always in was it solitary?
Yeah,
so he doesn't mess with anybody.
Giving raping advice to the young rapist R. Kelly, allegedly. Allegedly.
Trade some stories.
Statutory rapist, allegedly. So anyway, yes, yeah, so I think you got a reality show here. I think you got the celebrities in prison. I just call it Celebrities in Prison. That's the title. It says it all. And you set up your cameras in the prison there, and I mean, they've done reality shows in prison before. Am I right or am I right?
Oh, yeah. They've got plenty of shows, you know, like Locked Up and just things like that.
There's a more than one I know they've done, you know, so it's possible.
They got one with, like, minors.
They have one like that.
Yeah, I would love to just see the first day to where everybody gets their food, their prison food, and see their reactions to their prison food.
Lori Loughlin getting her first prison meal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Felicity Huffman in their first. That's helicopter parenting to the max. It's a whole new level of helicopter parenting. It's amazing though, because that whenever that investigation started, whether it was started 2 years ago, they missed a lot before that, because all the people that were like going, "Woo, I'm glad they didn't start that investigation until after our kids were already through school."
Yeah, no, definitely. And I would love to, and I'm just thinking back to episodes of Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
So you take that cafeteria stuff, and then I would love to see them trying to barter over, like, who can get a packet of ramen noodles.
Yeah.
Like, you see these celebrities. These celebrities have to fight over ramen noodles.
Ramen noodles, you know. Call up Theo and have him bring me some snacks to the prison cell. If Theo doesn't return my phone call, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna personally smash him in the head, and I'm his dad. I put him on the earth and I can take him out.
Oh yeah, all that.
There's rumors that Bill Cosby are like, he's playing his Dr. Huxtable character in prison. Like he's doing it for the prisoners to entertain him. That was one of the tabloid rumors.
Oh, whatever you got to do to stay alive, I guess.
Yeah. But it's amazing what post-internet world and the transparency, and then what that has led to, and finding out about celebrities and kind of who's been naughty and who's been nice.
Yeah, I wonder if now you're going to see more and more celebrity kids not get into USC and Texas.
Well, in the case of Lori Loughlin with her daughter is a influencer. She has a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And she had said months ago that she was not really that interested in going to college, that she really was just going for the football game and all the parties. Mm-hmm. She said that would be fun, but as far in the social aspect of it, but other than that, I really don't care about school. And then there was a big uproar about it after she said that. So she tweeted an apology, but come on, you really don't care about school.
It's a no.
Fake apology, but. So now it's kind of like making it even all the work that her parents were going through.
All the money.
And that
the
was,
risk.
The money that was being spent, $500,000 here in a bribe to get her to pass a test and all that stuff. You know, you could have just been like, you know, what was it all for? Apparently when her mom was arrested, she was on a yacht, a USC school mm-hmm. yacht. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's quite a... quite a deal, quite an ordeal. But yeah, celebrity prison. Somebody's already working on it. It can happen. Yeah. You can totally do that. Oh, you got Suge Knight.
Yes,
Suge Knight could be on. You got two seasons already. You got two cast. You can, and then by the time they get to third season, there'll be some other celebrities that'll have been, mm-hmm. you know, indicted. Harvey Weinstein, maybe by that time.
Like, I'm sure there's some ex NFL players you could throw in there.
Mm-hmm.
Just get some testosterone in the room.
Johnny Lightfoot. I want to thank you for joining me for the 92nd episode of the Thunderpop Podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've got some big ones coming up. Dumbo, Aladdin, Avengers Endgame.
Endgame.
Yeah. What outside of those are you most excited about?
Oh, God.
Coming up like between now and the summer.
I mean, you know, speaking back on Peel, I'm really excited for Us.
Us would have to be there, wouldn't it?
That yeah. was one of the ones where I really wanted, I wasn't about to brave South by just for one movie.
Right, because you knew you were going to be able to catch it.
But if there was one, it was that one.
Yeah, that you would jump on a bird scooter and zip down to the Paramount Theater for, navigate around all the other bird scooter.
Oh, yeah.
Fight the other bird scooters to get there. It's the new Alfred Hitchcock Birds.
Yeah, or you do like, make it like Mad Max, but on bird scooters.
Yeah. Yeah, like post-apocalyptic survival, riding around on bird scooters. All right, everyone, have a great day, hour, month, second, millisecond. Peace.
I lied. Thunderpop. 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 Oh, Thunderpop.
See you later. Huh? Beat it. Hit the bricks. Hit the bricks.
And Thunderpop is a Hit the Bricks production.